Profits for Europe's biggest bank plunged in the first half of this year. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. HSBC posted a 65% drop in profit from January to June, far more than economists had expected. That's as the company continues to deal with a number of challenges, including the impact of the coronavirus pandemic and protests in Hong Kong over a controversial new Chinese security law. The BBC's Sharonjit Lail has more.
We know HSBC is headquartered over there in London. It is the UK's largest bank, but more than half of its profits come from Hong Kong. The bank, in fact, is dealing with a number of challenges there, where it's become embroiled in a political battle over its support of China's national security law. In response, though, we've heard from HSBC's group chief executive today, Noel Quinn, essentially saying that HSBC will face any political challenges that arise, with a focus on what he's calling the long-term needs of customers and the best interests of investors. He's also acknowledged that tensions between China and the US inevitably have created challenging situations for an organization with HSBC's footprint. But he says there's a need for a bank capable of bridging the economies of both East and West, and that HSBC, he thinks, is well placed to fill that role.
Sharonjit Lail, well, those results are sending HSBC shares down nearly 6% here in London. Meanwhile, European shares are broadly mixed. Germany's DAX is up 1.2%. Italy's benchmark index is mostly flat. That's despite data showing the country's manufacturing sector returned to growth in June, hitting its highest level since 2018. In the U.S., shares of Microsoft are up about 2% of the opening bell on Wall Street. That's after the tech titan said over the weekend it's committed to buying the North American, Australian, and New Zealand operations of video sharing app TikTok, despite President Trump's threat to ban it. At issue for the U.S. is data privacy, since the app is owned by a China-based tech firm, ByteDance. The app denies that it shares data with the government in Beijing, and a spokesperson for China's foreign ministry today called for a non-discriminatory environment for business.
The U.S. has been stretching the concept of national security without any evidence and only based on a presumption of guilt. It's threatening certain businesses. It goes against market economy principles and has exposed hypocrisy in so-called upholding fairness and freedoms.
Even if the sale to Microsoft were to get the green light, where does that leave ByteDance in the global race for social media dominance? Duncan Clark, chairman of investment consultancy BDA China, has one answer.
Well, I guess what's in it is removing the headache. This has been a looming problem for them for some time. And of course, ByteDance has been looking to put in measures, for example, hiring a senior former Disney executive to run this business internationally, keeping servers overseas, etc. But at some point, there's nothing that they can do as a Chinese company that would reassure U.S. regulators or certainly the U.S. president. Domestically, TikTok has a very large business called Douyin and Toutiao and other businesses. But what's significant about this is it's the first Chinese company to really break into the inner circle, the magic circle, let's say, of global tech. And so it would actually be, to some extent, being punished for its success.
Can it be part of that inner circle if it doesn't have operations in one of these key global markets?
Well, you know, this is the story of our century, really, that the rise of China and its influence, not just on trade with the US and Europe, its influence around the world. We've seen it with Huawei and telecoms infrastructure. But now increasingly, we're seeing this China influence and China connectedness affecting regions of the world. We see it very heavily in Africa. We see it to some extent in South America. And we see this Europe in the middle kind of debate. So, you know, rest of world can be quite big without the US. Of course, for ByteDance, having lost India already, that's a big chunk. So there'll be questions about whether it can really be a global player. The app clearly has shown that it can be. It's a leader in this field. And it's kind of exposed the fact that not all innovation happens in Silicon Valley. We've known this for some time with the rise of companies like Alibaba and Tencent, but those have been mostly domestic stories in China. Now we see a company that is really shaking up the global tech world, and it's a Chinese-based company, even if the product can be in English. That's the big change here.
Duncan Clark, chairman of investment consultancy BDA. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
In the Italian city of Genoa today, a new bridge will be inaugurated. It's been nearly 2 years since the previous structure collapsed, killing 43 people. Officials hope the new bridge will not only heal the city's wounds, but restore a commercial trade route. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more.
It's really been breakneck speed, Victoria, and it's pretty unheard of in a country that moves notoriously slowly. It's been built in just over a year and will be inaugurated today, almost 2 years after the tragedy that killed 43 people. They managed to pass an emergency decree to sweep away various red tape. They pushed on despite the coronavirus tragedy, and yet it really has been extremely fast. And that's a question that I put to the architect Renzo Piano.
This is a country that is able to do things like that. It's not a miracle. If a pride and knowledge get through complex, the bureaucracy and all that, this is possible. I don't understand why. It would simply become possible when you have a tragedy.
So that's architect Renzo Piano there. Now, this bridge obviously means a lot to the country symbolically, but what about economically?
Well, that section of road is extremely important because it's a vital chunk of the highway that connects France and Italy. And so when the previous bridge, the Morandi Bridge, collapsed, it was costing the city about $7 million a day in lost revenues and additional costs. So it's very important now that the new bridge has been reconstructed. And I can tell you, Victoria, when you look at the new bridge, it's really very beautiful. It's a sweep of steel and concrete. It resembles a ship. This is a port city. It's got 2,000 solar panels to provide energy. It's got sensors and robots to ensure its safety. It's classic Renzo Piano. This is an architect who designed the New York Times building. He designed the Shard in London, the Pompidou Centre in Paris, and this is another magnificent creation of his. And he hopes that it will fill the hole in the heart of this city that has been gaping for the last 2 years.
The BBC's Mark Lowen in Genoa. Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure to talk to you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.